So let me remind you a little bit, because I thought this was interesting. So 2 weeks ago, Pastor Van shared with us a sermon about brokenness. And one of the areas of brokenness that he talked about is when you're broken yourself. And so I was praying about that, and I'm like, Lord, so what does that look like? And he said, well, that's sacrifice, because you're giving up what you want. I said, okay. So then for sacrifice, you have to surrender. So last week, Pastor Kurt stands up and he says, so I'm going to talk to you today about surrendering. I thought, oh no, he's going to do my sermon. But he went a little bit different direction. But CLCC, I think God wants us to get this, because this is 3 weeks in a row that these are all in the same stream. Brokenness, surrender, and today I'm going to be talking about sacrifice. You're going to see that that will encompass surrender and brokenness as well. So allowing brokenness within ourselves requires surrender, and surrender involves sacrifice. So what's a good definition of sacrifice? I found one, looked at a couple different places. I like this one. A sacrifice is the act of giving up something that is valuable to you. Okay, it might not be valuable to other people, but it's something that's valuable to you, either to help someone else or to obtain something of even greater value. Come on. So you're sacrificing, you're giving up something that's valuable and important to you, either so that you can help someone else or that you can receive something even greater. And what does that look like then in our Christian life? Well, it means when we perceive pleasing God and obeying Jesus as the most important thing. It's more important than my wants and my desires. Then I'll want to surrender to His will and His plan. Have you realized in your Christian life that your will and your plan doesn't always line up with His will and His plan? And you have to decide. Are you willing to surrender and sacrifice what you want for what He wants you to do? Romans 12, 1-3. I'll give you a minute if you're turning in your Bibles or your phones. And I do have a section of scripture that I'm going to read on my phone in a little bit, so let me grab that. That is awesome that we can carry 12 versions of the Bible on our phone. I used to come in with a stack of Bibles back in the day when I wanted to read different versions, and now I just open my phone. All right, Romans 12, 1-3. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give. That word means to present, to surrender your bodies to God because of all that He has done for you. Come on. Has He done a lot for us? So He's asking us to present, to surrender. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. See, there we go. Surrender and sacrifice in the same verse. The kind of sacrifice that He will find acceptable. So that means there's acceptable and not acceptable sacrifices. This is truly the way to worship Him. I want that verse to just sink in a minute. So the way to worship Him is to surrender, to give Him the right to lead and guide your life, where you go and what you do. God isn't looking, though, for an outward show. Do you remember the story in 1 Samuel 15 that Samuel told Saul to make sure that he killed all of the enemy and kill all the sheep and the cattle and all of that, and he decided to keep some of it. And he said, well, I did it to offer a sacrifice. And so Samuel says to King Saul, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offering and sacrifices or your obedience to His voice? He goes on to answer his own question. He says, God is much more pleased with obedience and submission. So let's go back to Romans 12. We were doing verses 1-3. don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God. So I was talking with Pastor Kurt this week. We meet every week, and now we're going to be meeting Pastor Van, Pastor Steph, Pastor Kurt, and I. So our own little pastoral huddle. We did it for the first time. It went great. We all said, well, we don't have a lot to talk about. Well, that's what Pastor Kurt and I say when we sat down. Well, 2 hours later. So you can imagine when it's four pastors in the same room, we had a lot to talk about. And I was saying to them, it seems like sermon after sermon after sermon, probably for the last 3 to 6 months, are all saying that God is asking us to make choices, make decisions, make the right decision, make the right choices. So here it is again. It says, let God. The same as the one before said, give to God. It's a choice. You can keep it or you can give it. You can let God or you can decide not to let God. So don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So those of you that have been coming out Wednesday night for our combined class on identity, we have been learning that he wants to transform us, and a large part of that is changing what we think. Because some of us have stinking thinking, right? I mean, it might be something we learned, something we have now made a habit, and you know why it's called a habit, because you almost choose to do it subconsciously. Okay, you get up in the morning and you do your first 4 or 5 things and then you think, I did those without even thinking about it. Okay, so that's a habit. God wants to transform us into a new person by changing the way we think. Come on. So you and I need to allow God. Here we are again. Surrender. Okay, surrender to him the way we normally think. And sometimes that's the way we've been thinking for years. So how easy is it going to be? It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard work to change the way that we think about some things. To give up lies we believe. To surrender our normal way of thinking through situations and relationships. See, we have a way that we have decided is the best way to handle relationships. We've decided this is the best way to handle situations. You know, often, he has a better way. So we want to change those to his way of thinking and responding and loving others. So then the question is, back to, am I willing to surrender? Am I willing to allow myself to have that habit broken? Okay, there we are back to brokenness. It could be a long-standing way of thinking, responding, or acting. But I need to decide to sacrifice what's normal to me, give that up, and replace it with his will and his desire for me and for others. Okay, I want us to pause and think about that. We're sacrificing the way we normally act, the way we've been used to acting. We're sacrificing and surrendering the way that we're used to thinking and instead exchanging that for the way he would act or he would think in the situation. How many know that's not easy to do? But it requires a decision. But you know how you made a habit? You made a habit by deciding to do that same thing over and over and over. Now, sometimes that's great habits, okay? I've decided I'm going to eat better over and over, or I'm going to exercise over and over, so you're building good habits. But most of us, okay, maybe I shouldn't say most of us. So me, I have developed some bad ones too by doing them over and over, right? Thank you, Nancy. At least somebody else admits it. Makes me feel a little better. Okay. So it takes sacrifice, surrender, and brokenness to be transformed. Remember we read earlier, let him transform us? we're allowing the potter to saturate the clay with his presence and get in there and change it so that it looks different, acts different. Yeah. I did pottery in high school, and believe it or not, I can actually remember back that far. Sometimes I can't, but I can remember high school and pottery because that was a really fun class. I had all of my required ones done mostly in my junior year, and so I got to pick some fun ones my senior year, and I took crafts. So I learned, remember macrame, and then I did pottery on the wheel and clay's flying everywhere. But you have to make sure that clay is soft and moldable, or it's just not going to turn into anything. And you put a little pressure on it, and whoa, there it is. You know, you wanted to make a pot, now you have a 5-foot-tall vase. But if you allow him to saturate you with his presence, then we're much more moldable. But it still is our decision. All right, we're still in Romans 12. So back to the next verse. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, then, okay, this is exciting, you're listening? Then you will learn to know God's will for you and that which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Are you catching that? So that means if we don't allow him to transform us, then we won't always know his will and what is good, pleasing, and perfect. Let me read that one more time. Good stuff this morning, Pastor Kurt. Yeah. Let God transform you. So we were saying let God means a choice. And that I just told you guys this week that God's saying to us, we need to make good decisions when we were meeting as pastors. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, that which is good, pleasing, and perfect. That's what I want to know. I want to know his will, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. Okay, Paul continues. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself. See, you're not going to change if you don't admit, you know what? Some ways I think and act are not like Jesus. But once you admit that, then you can say, hey, Lord, I need help. I need your Holy Spirit to come. Lead me, guide me, remind me, sometimes with me, urge me along. Okay. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. We need to realize that his ways really are better. We need to become convinced of that. In Isaiah 55, God says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, he's called God for a reason. And he thinks he knows more than we do. And we have to decide that he knows more than we do. And he knows better how to handle a situation than we know how to handle a situation. In John 14, Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Wow, we love to sing about how much he loves us. I love all those songs. You know, how great is the Father's love. But then Jesus says, well, if you really love me, you obey me. Ouch! Right? Because we're showing how much we love him by obeying him. And I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper who will never leave you. Who is that? Holy Spirit, who leads you into all truth. Come on. So you and I need to make some tough decisions. His way or my way, his thoughts or my thoughts, a lie or the truth. Are we going to surrender to what he says I need, or am I going to go after what I think that I need? Are we willing to sacrifice our plans and purposes for his plans and purposes? So we have an ultimate example of this. You remember Abraham, and God came and gave him a promise that he was going to have descendants, and years went by and years went by. He'd been happy just to have one, right? He didn't care about hundreds. He just wanted the very first one. And it wasn't happening, and it wasn't happening. And his wife said, well, you know, maybe we can make it happen. Yeah, how did that go for them? Thousands of years later, all we have to do is look at the news. That didn't go so well. Right? So then God comes and even reminds him. He visits Abraham and Sarah again, and he says, hey, don't forget, I made you a promise, and I'm going to keep that promise. And sometimes when it's been months and years, okay, I think he got the promise like at 74. Wait till you hear when he gets the answer. So let's look at Genesis 21 together. That's it. Easy, one of the easiest books to find. Right there at the very beginning. Genesis 21. Okay, we're going to start with verse 1. Genesis 21, 1. Then the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh. For who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, and yet I have borne him a son in my old age? And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast. So they waited all this time for that promise. And it was impossible because they were both past the age of having children. And yet God did it anyway. God did it anyway. Chapter 22. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham! And he said, here I am, God. And he said, now take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. He split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Can you even imagine? Come on, I can't even imagine. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes, so it was a 3-day journey, and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder. We will worship and return to you. That was faith. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so the two of them walked on together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, Father? He said, yes, my son. He said, I see the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide. Come on. There we are again. He knew something was going to change. He didn't know what, but he knew something was going to change. He will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar. He arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar. Oh my, I can hardly even read that. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called down to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! He said, yes, here I am. Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. I know now that you reverence me, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Who do you think this was a type of? Father and Jesus. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, right behind them was a ram caught in the thickets by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, offered him as the burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh, which means God will provide. Come on. That's ultimate sacrifice there. Ultimate being willing to give up what you want and how you think it should go to what he wants and how he wants it to go. And because of his obedience and a little bit there, because of his willing to sacrifice, God said to him, indeed, I will greatly bless you and I will greatly multiply. Come on, look what obedience and sacrifice does. I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be like the stars of heaven and like the sand on the seashore. That's a lot. And, okay, that would be exciting enough, right? You could just put a period right there. Because we started with just one and he still only has one. Okay? But he says, I'm going to multiply your descendants. Thousands of years, he's still multiplying his descendants. He's still having descendants. But then he goes on to say, and your descendants will overpower their enemies. Yeah. And it continues, folks, come on. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Why? Because you have obeyed me. Look what obedience does. Wow. Come on. What a promise. But it required obedience, surrender, and sacrifice. Obedience, surrender, and sacrifice. All right, we're going to look at one more section of Scripture. Then we're going to have communion and end with a time of reflection. So this time, we're going to Hebrews 13. So this morning we've been talking about surrendering and sacrifice and giving up the way that I want to think about a situation, giving up the way that I want to respond to a situation, giving up how I would like to handle a situation, and saying, Jesus, how do you want me to act? How do you want me to think? How do you want me to respond? All right. Verse 15, therefore let us, okay, are you catching this morning that these are decisions? Let him transform you. Choose to give him. Let us. So when we come in here every Sunday morning, it's let us. Let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God. Now, who thinks that just happened Sunday morning? That's every day. Every day I get up, every situation, I have to decide. Am I going to give him a sacrifice of praise? If it's easy, it's not a sacrifice. But some days, it's a sacrifice. Come on. Yes. Proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Come on. So what is it? Share with those, do good and share with those in need. Well, the first thing that always comes to our mind is practical needs. So yeah, that's true. I mean, if you need clothing or shelter or food, but sometimes what people need is a phone call. Is a card, is a friend, is somebody to sit with them. And see, that all takes sacrifice because maybe what you would rather do is just sit at home and relax. Right? But you have to choose to make a phone call or send a card or bake a dessert and take it over. So we have a number of situations that we're aware of right now that we have been choosing to try to be involved with some people that are in need, including our next door neighbor that Karen knows. So don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they're accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow, because that certainly would not be for your benefit. So let's remind ourselves of the definition of sacrifice. It's the act of giving up something that's valuable to me. So maybe what's valuable to me is my time. Maybe what's valuable to me is my relaxation. Maybe it's my, I don't do sports, but maybe it's sports, hunting, fishing. But you're choosing, or maybe it's just relaxation, playing a game, whatever. You're choosing to give up something that's of value to you, either to help someone else or to obtain something of greater value. So the verse that we just read tells us that making a choice to sacrifice and to give up my time, energy, and resources, here are some ways. There were four ways. To praise God, make a sacrifice to praise God through a situation, difficult time. Maybe you're just tired, so it's going to take a sacrifice. Maybe you aren't feeling well. Take a sacrifice. Number two, to do good and be kind to others. Some days, depending on the situation you're in and who you're encountering, that takes a sacrifice. A lot of stress out in the world, in your workplace. Sometimes people aren't kind, so you have to choose. Am I going to treat them the way they're treating me, or am I going to choose to treat them the way Jesus would treat them? Hopefully you think about that before you say what you want to say. So number two, to do good and be kind to others. Number three, provide what others may have need of. Provide what others may have need of. And number four, to surrender having it my way as I submit to those in authority over me. So that verse talked about four ways that we give the sacrifice that pleases him. Praise God, do good and be kind to others, provide what others may need, and number four, surrender to having it my way as I submit to those in authority over me. How do we know that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted? Because that's what the scripture says, right? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Well, do you remember the Beatitudes? I just want to read a few of those. Blessed, and that word actually means happy. Okay, happy are those who realize their need of him. We have to admit we need him, right? Happy are those who mourn, for God himself will comfort them. Happy are those who humble themselves, admit that they need something from him. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's a sacrifice, because some days I want to hunger and thirst for something else. Hunger and thirst. Happy are those who show mercy to others. Some days that's a choice, isn't it? Happy are those who work for peace. So we have to choose to surrender the way we respond, and instead thinking and acting and speaking like Jesus would. For me, so many things happen automatically that I have to actually stop, because if I respond out of habit, it might not be the best choice, right? So I'm taking a breath, saying, Jesus, show your love through me, and what does that look like? And I don't always like the answer. It's like, well, that means that you're going to respond this way, even though that's not what you're thinking or even feeling. Amen? All right, so we're going to take communion. This morning is a fantastic morning to have communion. So thank you, Facebook family and friends, for visiting us. And we're going to sign off now so that we as a church family can partake of communion. We'd love to have you visit us sometime at 10 a.m. We're at 3151 Rittner Highway in Newville, ChristianLifeCommunityChurch.net.